Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
And now it's time to go to our featured guest today, Bob Bowden, founder and CEO of Vitafair, and we're going to be hearing about that. He's also a broadcast journalist, and he's the founder and former executive director of Choice Media. So tell us a little bit about Vitafair and why it's important for creators.
The concept is simply to allow content creators a way to make money from their work. I'd been a documentary filmmaker, and I was touring the country going to film festivals, and I noticed that most people who created films sometimes spent half their life savings or more into these projects, sometimes spent years of their lives into these projects. They would have nothing, if sometimes even get lucky enough to be in a local film festival, invite all their friends and relatives and coworkers and actors to come see the one screening, and then it's all over and they just all go home. The best they can do is put it on YouTube after that. And I thought to myself, why isn't there a way for someone to set their own price, much like on Airbnb, how you'd set a price to rent a condo, and people, if you set the price too high for your condo, that's on you. Maybe you won't get a lot of rentals, but you set a price to rent a condo and people have a way to rent your condo. Why shouldn't there be a similar way where you could set a price on content and have people rent that, and you get paid for whether it's a film or a comedian with a video, stand-up comedy or skits, or a cooking show or a music video for musicians who have a hard time monetizing music lately. So we created Vitafair, which is a way people can set their own fee on video and then have their social media followers or friends, etc., rent it, and they get paid.
I think this is a great idea. You know, quite honestly, Richard and I have watched everything we think we want to watch on Netflix, and there's nothing on TV. So, like, really some fresh content, because I like a wider selection.
I have had people approach me, say, why don't you just curate this and make sure only the best videos get uploaded? And I'm like, no, there are enough gatekeeper platforms. There are enough HBOs out there, and Netflix's out there, and Hulu's out there, and I can't even list them all. Peacocks, et cetera, go on and on with all these subscription platforms. I don't think we need more of that. I basically want to be the pay-per-view YouTube. I don't want to be yet another gatekeeper platform.
Bob, how did you come up with the idea in the first place?
Yeah, it was really just like I said, being at film festivals and seeing people had no way to make a penny from their content. People said, well, your YouTube channel can be monetized. Well, that's if you already have 1,000 followers and if you already have 4,000 hours of people watching your content. And then, drum roll please, you get on average less than 2/10 of a penny per view through an advertiser YouTube monetization plan. That you get 0.18 cents per view. I mean, that's a rounding error, you know? I mean, you could charge a very fair price. Imagine you made 25 cents per view, and that was the fee that you set for your Vitafair upload, 25 cents. I mean, that's the 125x, that's 125 times the per view compensation than you'd be getting by YouTube advertiser monetization. So yeah, I felt like people needed a way to, and of course, it's not just films either. Like I said, there's all kinds of content. People come up with new forms of content every day, even just podcasts like yours, by the way. You know, people give away a certain amount of free content, and then it's not unusual for them to say, oh, now if you're a fan already, you can look for my paywall content over here on Patreon, which is a subscription platform. We wanted a non-subscription way to do that, since so many people are sick of subscribing to things, hashtag subscription fatigue. We wanted a way you could pay a la carte to support someone you liked without being asked to subscribe to yet another thing.
So what percentage of that does the creator get?
Well, it's not based on a percentage. In fact, that was a thing we tried early on. We thought, okay, we'll just make it a percentage. Like, you set your fee and then we'll take a percent. But then we thought, why should we get more just because one person charges more for their work than another person, and they're both, say they're both two 10-minute videos. One person charges double, the second person charges double what the first person charges. Why should we get more for serving the bits, the ones and zeros of that second video if it's the same amount of data? And I kind of thought, you know, if fairness is the principle of our platform, we should be profitable, but we should be paid based on our storage and streaming, not based on what someone else charges. So our platform fee is purely based on the duration of the upload. It's not based, so it's not a percentage, to answer your question. It's not, it's basically works out to basically a penny and a half per minute is our platform fee. If you charge a dollar, and let's say it's a 10-minute video, platform fee would be 15 cents, penny and a half per minute times 10 minutes. So 15 cent platform fee, $1.15 would be basically the total. But if Richard charges $10 instead of $1 for the creator fee, it's still a 10-minute video. It's still a 15 cent platform fee. It would be $10.15 retail, rounding off, in other words. So our platform fee is based on duration, not based on percentage.
Bob, if an entrepreneur wanted to create their own software platform, what steps would they go through in order to do that? And what advice would you have for them?
I mean, one piece of advice would be do something different that isn't being done already. I do see a lot of people trying to be another provider of an existing paradigm that I see that already exists. And it's hard enough to be successful and kind of take on big tech, as I like to say, if you are doing something original. But if you're not doing something original, well, you should probably wait till you have a better idea. That would be one piece of advice I would give.
And then in terms of the nuts and bolts of building the platform, what was that process like?
What I did was I said, why don't I turn to somebody that knows this space really well and ask them to give me personal recommendations of people they think would be a good fit for what I'm doing. That made all the difference. And I'm actually lucky that was just the second iteration, you know, that I didn't go around with more iterations of that first failed attempt of trying to just vet people through talking to them and that kind of thing. When you ask people for their advice, I find they most people take it very seriously. Like they really want to recommend somebody that they think really will be a good fit for this. And if they know the space extremely well, which is how you select the person from whom you asked advice, they'll generally give you a really good recommendation. That's how we solved it and moved on and ended up with somebody amazing. Like we ended up talking to a person who ran a school for what's called full stack programming, somebody that can program everything from iPhones to Android to websites, et cetera, and does banking interactions, et cetera, as we do streaming services, a video. So we basically found someone who ran a school for that, who has seen hundreds and hundreds of people come through their school, and I ended up hiring one of the professors of the full stack programming school. It made all the difference.
I love that answer because we're so quick now just to go to the internet and read reviews, and that can only tell part of the story. But if you can find somebody who knows somebody that they've worked with and understands their work ethic and their integrity and their capabilities, that's one of the most powerful ways to find the right people. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that.
So I'm doing a deep dive in the podcasting space, and I feel like the podcasting space is 70% marketing. And I think for your site, marketing is huge. So my question for you about that is, do you personally market the site? Well, obviously you're coming on the show, so you do, right? But then everybody that has something on there, are they marketing it too? I mean, is that part of the deal or can they just market it or not?
They can just market it or not. We sort of advise people it's in their own interest to do so because the more people that know about their film being available for rent or their video or whatever it is, comedy, et cetera, the more people that know about it, the more rentals they'll get. The closest analogy to what we do is Patreon, which I mentioned before. From a marketing point of view, we see it kind of similar. You don't see Patreon spending a bunch of money on the Super Bowl ad to say, go to patreon.com to find, you know, random content. No, they use the actual content creators to tell their social media followers, go look at my content. Maybe there's an initial stage where we do need to do a lot of marketing to actually just get on anyone's radar at all, which is kind of the phase we're in right now. But that after that, it seems to me that it would make more sense for the content creators to basically tell their followers about their own content on our site.
So who would you think of as your competition?
Probably Patreon. It's probably the closest thing. I mean, you could, from the film space, you could say Vimeo, which is a publicly traded company. Vimeo's been around forever. There's a lot of ways I would argue we're better than they are. Like, for example, let's start with the fact that you need a $120 a year pro-level subscription on Vimeo to monetize anything, whereas we have a one-time upload fee of $2. So it's a pretty big difference, $120 a year versus $2 one time. But from a film space, I would say Vimeo. From a podcast monetization space, I would say Patreon.
So do you envision, maybe, because this probably hasn't had time to happen yet, somebody just like blowing it out of the water on your site and then getting picked up by NBC or, you know, Peacock or something?
That's the kind of problem I'd love to have. I would say bring that on.
I think that's going to happen. We're going to speak it into existence.
Right? There we go. We're going to put good karma out there. So before becoming the CEO of Bitaffaire, you were a broadcast journalist, and you also were the former executive director of Choice Media. How does what you're doing now differ from the previous things you did earlier in your career?
You know, I started out as an engineer with a master's in engineering, but I was never really a software guy in terms of even managing software development, which I do now. So that's how it's different, I would say. Most of my career was in the media. The nexus between technology and content, the combination of those two subject matters is one that my resume seems to emphasize.
Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. Our special guest today is Bob Bowden, who is the founder and CEO of Bitaffaire, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Have you considered getting life insurance, but you smoke? And you've been told more than once that you need to pay smoker rates, and those rates are too expensive for you? Are you between the ages of 40 and 70? Now, you can call our special toll-free number at the Term Lifeline and learn how to qualify for a life insurance policy at non-smoker rates. That's right. Now you can get a life insurance policy, even if you're a smoker, at non-smoker rates. You can save significantly on a life insurance policy. Call right now. Ask our specialist how you can qualify for non-smoker life insurance rates, even if you are a smoker. We'll shop all the top life insurance companies and provide you rates that you can afford. Call now and ask our agents how you can qualify for non-smoker life insurance rates.
800-565-2430. 800-565-2430. 800-565-2430. That's 800-565-2430.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-255-4940. 800-255-4940. 800-255-4940. That's 800-255-4940.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Bob Bowden. And Bob has something we all want, whether we're a creator or a watcher of created content. And it is called Bitaffaire. And there's a reason for that name. It's fair to both sides. But he's also done something with the payment structure that I think is just phenomenal. So can you talk about your grains?
Sure. So we realized early on, through some fits and troubles and anxiety and heartburn, that we really have two kinds of customers in the sense of the renters, two kinds of renters. Some people want to pay the least, and for them, we set up what we call our grain tokens. And then there's another group that wants to keep it simple. They just want one price. They don't want to deal with any kind of tokens or kind of volume purchase paradigm. They want to just buy and can you just give me, I have a cousin who said this to me, "Can you just tell me the price? I'm not a cryptocurrency expert. I'm not a trader. I just want to rent this video. Can you just give the one price?" And we're like, "Oh, okay. So we need both of those. We need to serve both of those potential renters. So we have two ways to rent the content. One is just an a la carte price. You pay once and that's it. Nothing else. But for those who want to pay the least, we realize that, you know, when you're dealing in small payments, like sub $1 level transactions, credit cards were never invented for this. That's why a lot of times you'll go into takeout restaurants and they'll say, like, if you want to use a credit card, you know, $15 minimum or something like that, you'll see. Because the credit card fees are not designed for micropayments. The fees are too large to make micropayments work. So if you want to build a platform that allows micropayments, how do you do it? And what you do is you allow through, it's called an internet wallet, basically no different than an internet token you see on some other sites, but we call it our grain token. So you buy a package of grains once, and then you use a few grains with each purchase of a rental of a video. And what that does is the credit card transaction fees happen once because you're buying the package of grains and you pay the credit card transaction fee once. And then that way, each rental, you have a fraction of the transaction fee associated with that rental. So you pay a lot, oftentimes half or less than half than you would pay with the a la carte price. We have a pricing model, in other words, that does all this calculation for you. So if you go to our website right now, you'll see two prices. Same with if you go to our iPhone app or Android app right now, you'll scroll down videos, you'll see two prices. One is the a la carte price, which is the one-time cost, which incidentally also Google and Apple, the App Store on Apple and the Google Play Store have this weird requirement of 99-cent minimums plus only $1 increments above that. So that's not us. That's Apple and Google forcing us to charge only either 99 cents or $1.99 or $2.99 or $3.99. So you'll see the one-time price or the a la carte price on each video. But you'll also see the grains, which is you can think of in terms of the number of pennies you'll pay. So if you see like a grain symbol 54-99 cents, that would tell you it's the equivalent of 54 cents if you buy our bushel grain package. Or if you see a grain symbol, you know, 112. That means 112 pennies or $1.12 versus $1.99 maybe on the a la carte price.
That is brilliant. And I got to tell you, I love the imagery of the grains. It's like you're feeding the creators a little bit of grain.
Is this a kind of an original approach to this issue?
Yeah. No one else has basically thought of this in terms of a way to monetize. The whole world went subscription model. The whole world. And you could also say advertising monetization is also, if you think of something like an old school broadcast television, or if you think of something like YouTube, those are advertising models. But most of the internet monetization, the whole world went subscription model. And I have always hated subscriptions. Again, as I said before, I hate forgetting to unsubscribe. If you Google subscription fatigue, you'll see story after story about how at least half of the country now, their brains shut off if you pitch them on subscribing to anything else. They're sick of being asked to subscribe to things. And so it just seemed clear to me that maybe there will always be a place for the Netflixes and the HBOs of the Patreons of the world that want subscription models. But there should at least also be a place for the other half of us who don't want to subscribe but are happily willing to pay a buck or two.
So I have to ask you, have you tried to patent this?
Oh, no, we have. Yeah, it's patent pending. We have a patent application in.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. That's great news. So obviously, looking at it from the business company perspective, having reoccurring subscriptions kind of guarantees, I think, you know, a certain level of revenue, right? You're taking a risk, it seems, by kind of leaving it to the whim of the consumer to decide when they're going to access the content and when they're not.
What do I actually want when I am a consumer? That's how this platform was designed. In a way, I can see that if you are a gigantic company with billions to spend in advertising, there's venture capital folks with money to spend to the investing world. Maybe there's value in having this recurring revenue. But I mean, I think about the gym memberships, right? The gym memberships that people join the gym and they go once and never go back again. Like a lot of times subscriptions are a scam. They're basically a way to get money for providing less services than people think they're signing up for because they stop using it. And so that's how I feel about it. I'm tired of subscribing to stuff. So I think you're right. We made a choice to put the customer's interests, or at least our expectations for what the customer might want, ahead of what potential venture capital investors might want.
So Bob, what kind of feedback have you gotten on this business model so far?
Feedback we've gotten, I guess to some extent people are confused by the word grains. So that's why now, you'll notice earlier in the interview, I say grain tokens. Because if you say token, they go, oh, they just have better cognition of what that is. So that's one thing. The people see both prices on a video and they'll see like the little thumbnail of the video and they'll see the two prices and they'll be confused by that. I would say that's the number one thing we get asked about. And yes, people will also ask the same question you did about percentage. They'll say, what's the percentage? What percentage do you get? I would almost love to just say, okay, it's 15%. Instead, I have to go through this whole thing. We don't charge a percentage. We charge based on the services we're doing, which is, you know, storage and streaming. And so that's another thing we get a lot.
Listening to you, it's almost like all the subscription services are like all-you-can-eat restaurants. And you've got the Culinary Institute.
Don't we all see subscriptions as a thing that's sort of invading our lives in so many ways? I almost want to make my own comedy video of someone going to like order a hamburger at a restaurant and they're like, well, we can give you our hamburger subscription. That means you get, five per month and you have to sign up for it. Like, who would want that?
Media companies have been tying content together forever. Just look at your cable channel where you get 1,500 channels and maybe you watch 20 of them at the most, right?
Imagine if you had a competition of cable channels instead of a cable monopoly, for those of us that remember the cable TV era, and one of them just let you buy channels a la carte. And the other said, no, we're not going to do that. We're only having this giant package and you can only, and that's all you can do. Can't you serve your customers the best? Why do you have to basically screw over your customers by making them buy content they don't want? It never made any sense to me. What do I actually want when I am a consumer? And that's how this platform was designed.
Well, that was amazing, Bob. We really enjoyed speaking with you about Vitafair.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X,
and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first.
Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at GearhartLaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.